Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the June 8th, 2025 service at Plymouth, Pentecost Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. All together in one place, they heard the rush of a violent wind. It filled the entire house.
Divided tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each of them.
They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Next is the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. I'm reading Psalm 104, 24 through 34, and 35b. Listen now for what the Spirit is saying to the church. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with the good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditations be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, Every Time I Feel the Spirit.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these the ones who are Galileans? How is it then that we all hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much to drink." When Peter stood up among the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. These people are not drunk, as you might suppose, but it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit among all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. The moon itself will be turned to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Our passage from Acts chapter 2 tells us of an event that changed the world. Not just the lives of those immediately there, but changed the world. The fire still falls, and the wind still blows. Few of us will ever experience what John Nidy lived through in Jackson, Mississippi. You see, one day when John was found himself in his home, his mobile home, but trapped within the very eye of a tornado that had struck. His mobile home shook about like it was a surfboard. It took flight in the winds that howled round like a freight train. And then the entire house lifted off the ground, flung into a tree quite a ways away. John survived, having been flung by this tornado. He survived, but it took months for him to recover. His story is remarkable, not just because he lived through it, but because like moments like this, strong winds remind us that winds still hit. And when they do, nothing stays the same. I thought of this story as I read Acts chapter 2, that when the day of Pentecost, as it says in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And then suddenly from heaven there came a sound like that of a rush of a violent wind. You see, Pentecost did not simply sneak in, quietly arrive. No, it came with force, loud, unsettling, unmistakable, like the sound of a tornado. Anyone know the sound of a tornado or a hurricane? Yeah, it's something to be feared when it's howling. Yeah. But as long with that, not just the sound like a tornado, also fire. In the Northwest, we know fire. We don't believe in fire, having been touched by fire and seeing the wreckage and ruin that's left. A mighty wind, a fire. Divided tongues, our passage says, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue remained on each one of them. And with that, the Spirit of God descended and filled them. The Spirit came in power. Not just a one-time dramatic moment. This is the birth of the church. We should be singing, "Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Plymouth. Happy birthday, Presbyterianism. Happy birthday, Christianity. Happy birthday, church around the world." It's the launching point for the mission of God's people. I want you to hear this clearly. The fire still falls. The wind still blows. That spirit, the spirit who shook the house in Jerusalem, is still at work today, stirring, shaking, and sending. Let's walk through the bits and pieces of what happened that day and what it means for us here at Plymouth Presbyterian Church. Because Pentecost, the event of Pentecost, set the church in motion. It set the church in motion outward, inward, and upward. And it still does. Outward reaching. The church is sent into the world. Notice in our passage, the first thing that the Spirit does, it empowers the disciples to speak in other languages, real, earthly languages, not just mysterious sounds needing someone else to interpret, but words of witness that everyone who was there could understand. Our passage says it this way: all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Each one listening heard them speaking in their native language. This wasn't just about being a showy spectacle. It was about these Galileans connecting with others. Pentecost breaks down barriers. Language is a barrier. There are times when I gather in these quick stops on roadsides, fill up my gas tank, and there are so many times when I'm inside the store and I'm hearing foreign languages. And if laughter is accompanied with those foreign languages, the temptation within me is to say, they're speaking about me and laughing at me. Have you ever noticed that? It's like, no, okay. It's not about me. Leave me out of it. They're probably laughing over some joke one told to the other. But because it's a foreign language, there's that barrier that separates me from them and they from me. Pentecost is about connection. This is the church at its best, when we connect with others. The gospel, the good news of God and God speaking to human beings, is no longer reserved for one culture, one race, or even one tongue. It's spilled out into the streets. It was heard. This is the church at its best. Not looking, not locked in a building. Not limited by a tradition. Well, this is the only way we do it. We've never done it like that before. No, not huddled in fear, because they were prior to this day. It is flung outward by the Spirit. And friends, the fire still falls. And the wind, it still blows. The Spirit still sends the church out into the world, to every culture, to every neighborhood, to every hurting heart. We're not here to preserve a club. We are here to proclaim a risen Savior. Outward reaching. The church is sent into the world. But not only that, the church is also inward loving. A church is formed on love. The Spirit doesn't just push the church outward. It draws the church inward and toward one another. A few verses later in our second chapter of Acts, we read that the believers shared everything in common. They celebrated communion daily. They prayed. They served. They gave. They became a community. Nothing speaks louder than the church as it is inwardly focused and being the community of Christ's body. The love among those early believers was part of their witness. Jesus himself said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my followers, that you love one another." The love among those early believers was part of their witness to the world. There are divisions that rise, and sadly, we've seen what happens when that love that is so much a part of the core of the church is not there. Churches can turn bitter. Divisions and pride can poison a congregation. Here's a true story coming to us out of New Sweden, Maine. In this small Lutheran church, a member poisoned the coffee urn with arsenic. So as one got sick and some died, many were hospitalized because of that arsenic in that fellowship hour coffee. Suspicion tore that once peaceful congregation apart. Who did this thing when it was found that it was poison that was causing the problem? No one could understand why, but even without poison, there are relationships that can damage when trust and grace go missing. The early church reminds us that the Spirit not only sends us out, but it also binds us together. That same wind that scattered the church also drew it into one body. The fire still falls. The Spirit still blows. And the Spirit will still builds people of compassion, forgiveness, and shared life. So the Spirit sends us outward, yes, outward reaching, and also inward loving. But it also turns our attention upward trusting. The church is sustained by God. Pentecost turns the church upward toward our source, God. What happened in that room wasn't manufactured, can't be reduplicated either. It wasn't a result of a committee formed over it and studying it and then decided, let's run a program. It wasn't a preacher's charisma that brought it about. No, it was something that only God can do. Only God did do, and only what God will do. We need to remember that. We work hard in the church. We serve, we volunteer, we give, and sometimes that volunteering, serving, and giving can feel like we're the ones who are just trying to hold everything together, and this duct tape just won't cover all of the gaps or hold long enough to keep things together. But the truth is, it's not you and it's not me who holds the church together. Ken Crockett tells the story of a man helping to anchor a blimp. You know a blimp? The dirigible filled with what? Helium that rises. So there are ropes that are gathered off that blimp. And there are volunteers holding, with their body weight, that dirigible, that blimp, down to the ground. Well, on one occasion, this particular occasion, there was this breeze that hit the blimp and caused it to lift and go airborne off the ground. And some of the volunteers very quickly let go of the ropes. Other volunteers held on for a time, until the blimp got a certain amount of altitude, and then because of fear, I think, they then let go and fell to the ground and later were hospitalized. One man hung on as the blimp continued to rise into the air and the altitude going higher and higher. For 45 minutes, they tried to form a rescue plan to get him off of the blimp as it went up in the air. When they finally did rescue him, they said, "How? How could you do that? How could you hold on to the rope for 45 minutes and not fatigue and drop to the ground to die?" And he said, I didn't hold on. I simply tied the rope around my waist and let the rope hang on to me. God is holding on to us and not letting us to fall to the ground. God is blowing the wind through us. God is lighting the fire of passion within us and holding us together. That's the church. We don't cling to God in fear. God holds on to us in love. The fire still falls. The wind still blows. God's Spirit still breathes life into weary people. The Spirit still lifts us when we cannot lift ourselves up and hold ourselves on. So let me conclude with these words. We are scattered by the Spirit. Let me leave you with one last image. After a hurricane, I spoke of tornadoes and now we're on to hurricanes. After hurricanes, there are tropical plants that are uprooted and their seeds and then rerooted hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Scientists have found that plants like the gumbo limbo or the cocoa plum, that once when they were picked up by a Caribbean storm, they were carried across the Gulf of Mexico, and later they were found growing in unexpected places in the southern U.S., places they've never grown before. They were battered, yes, but still alive, and they were taking root there. My friends, that's the church. Where Pentecost blew the disciples into unfamiliar territory, but the gospel took root wherever it landed, and it still does today. You and I are here today because the Spirit didn't just stay in that room back in Jerusalem. The wind has been blowing far and wide beyond Jerusalem. The wind is still blowing. It hasn't stopped. And the truth of our passage is fire still falls and the wind still blows. May it fall on us. May it blow through us. And may we, like those first disciples, never be the same again.
Next is the hymn, Blessed Assurance.